Do you lead an organization, a business, a company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com. S-I-M-A International. For 50 years, they're experts in retain search, talent management, and personalized coaching. Check out SEMAInternational.com. Welcome again to Circles of Change, and indeed on the line with me right now is Marlis Hansen from SEMA International. How are you this morning, Marlis?
Just fine, thank you.
Terrific. Well, career development, that is a loaded term if people aren't careful about it. In fact, wouldn't you and I both agree in the past there was this impression that there was this magic committee in the sky that had the black book making decisions on who did what and when. But truly in this day and age, it's more about putting things right in the hands of the ultimate person, which is us, guiding our own path, right?
Well, that's for sure. Then there's a saying that says, if it's to be, it's up to me.
Yeah.
And I think it really applies here. And the responsibility for, development has really shifted, as you said, in the last few years, from the manager, you know, being much more directive and certainly being able to be more directive because the situations were often much more predictable, right?
Predictable, and also maybe even a perception it was a lot more clear what the journey was going to be.
Yes.
I mean, you and I both having worked a lot in technical-based organizations, you knew that new college graduates started either in the laboratory, in the field, or at the drafting table. Sorry, that shows my age, right? Okay, I'll say the computer screen. And then eventually you stepped into being a design engineer, then a project engineer, then a program manager, and so on. And in this day and age, man, it's anybody's guess what's the right path. And in fact, maybe the right path is for me to get out of engineering, go over to manufacturing and sales, and then come back. So the rules have changed, too.
And so it makes it much more imperative that the discussion, you know, the career development discussion is an ongoing dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't just a one-shot affair anymore. And probably effective development never was really a one-shot affair, but it's certainly, the kind of change that you've described just makes it imperative that this is an ongoing conversation.
Which of those is, if you look at least some of the large companies, I know that you and I have had the benefit of working within, or even the medium size, not just companies, but organization in general, there's this feeling that we do the once-a-year performance review, the once-a-year discussion of what should the upcoming training plan be,
right,
and then the once-a-year just check-in about career development. But you're right. Situations change, and to put all of that information, by the way, that includes perhaps a discussion of where you're ranked and what your merit increases, that's a really loaded time of year then if it isn't treated in a much more flowing way.
Well, and there's really kind of two very different roles that the supervisor or manager plays in those, you know, in that scope of discussion that you just described. I mean, there is an evaluative role where the supervisor does give feedback on performance and, you know, defines the individual strengths and the areas for improvement and so forth. And so that is an appropriate role for the manager to really be more directive in that topic. But as you move into the career discussion and where this responsibility, as we've said, is more and more shared, and that the career goals really need to come from the employee as well as the ongoing sort of a formulating of a career strategy, the manager becomes much more of a person to whom the individual can kind of bounce ideas with and get their perspective.
Yeah, and in fact, many times realize that they might not be the end-all to end-alls with regard to advice. So the idea even that your career development, you almost want a committee in your head or a personal board of directors that you can rely on multiple perspectives, that you don't outgrow the affinity you have with just one person, whether they're their supervisor or not.
Right, and even the most effective supervisor cannot possibly have, all the different relevant perspectives that are needed. So, you know, just really need to have, like you say, kind of a board of directors and certainly a mentor or a person that you can practice these discussions with. We always say the worst place place to practice these conversations is in front of your supervisor, which is really usually where they are. That's where the practice takes place.
Yeah. We may even want to start just a quick second, Marlis, of course, is that word career. Can also be a bit loaded in this day and age. I mean, particularly what career meant to those who are the baby boomers or even more senior vis-a-vis younger people, right?
Right. And, you know, we still find people, you know, in organizations who think of careers primarily as promotional steps. And that's becoming a more and more outdated and very limited way of thinking about a career. You know, we just have to, you know, understand that the most effective career kind of development comes, you know, with lifelong learning and talent management, you know, where both the individual and the organization understand the needs and the strengths of the individual so they can, you know, match the talent to the task and develop that talent to meet the needs. So it's there's a whole lot more to it than promotion.
And and in fact, you'd even say, I know the young people that I work with many times, the last thing they want to think about is even staying in the same organization for maybe more than 2 to 4 years, because they're on a journey of filling their soul, I'll say, filling their bags with different tools. And perhaps because of dynamics in organizations, to think you can find that in one place, let alone that they might like to relocate or have more flexibility from a personal life standpoint, it's not the same model as it was in the past for both supervisors to understand and guide, as well as HR professionals to provide the process by which we want to operate within.
Right, and it really makes it very challenging for the organizations to keep their, you know, the top talent that they want to retain. So they really have to be, you know, on the ball in terms of interacting with these individuals and getting and keeping an active plan for development so that they don't start, you know, looking over the fence into greener pastures. You know,
and in fact, we'd say that these principles that we're going to get into here shortly apply equally for the for-profit world, for public service, for the nonprofit world, for even those of us who manage volunteers, is to think about how we can keep our volunteer base growing, changing, and in a lifelong learning mode so they don't switch to some other organization necessarily.
That's right. I mean, and all the surveys on engaged employees, which certainly, you know, just means people who are actively involved in their work, you know, every one of these has some result that points to the opportunity to do what you really enjoy doing and do well, and have the opportunity to continue to learn. So, you know, it's not rocket science. It really isn't. It's pretty much common sense in terms of, you know, what makes for an engaged individual, you know, like you say, whether it's nonprofit or profit.
That's right. For those who know Marlis and I well, of course, is one of the processes we walk through with people. It's called the System for Identifying Motivated Abilities, and we help people really dig back, appreciate, embrace their own life stories, and from that tease out then, really, what are my passions and how is it I do well what I do well? Marlis, the thought of career development, then you started out just right out of the chute saying this really in this day and age is a shared responsibility. Why don't we spend time talking about the employee or the candidate, the supervisor or the manager, and then the organization in general, maybe those three areas.
Okay, kind of who's responsible for what?
Exactly. Who's on what base when?
Right. Well, it all starts, as we know, with the employee and the performance in their current job. Because that's what the supervisor is going to be most concerned about, and it's what the responsibility of the employee is to attend to. Because organizations aren't just keeping these individuals around because they love them; they expect some contribution, and that too is highly connected to what you were just talking about in terms of being in a role that really engages your talents and your abilities, so that you are motivated to perform and that you can sustain competitive performance. And if you find yourself, you know, having a hard time getting up and going to work in the morning, and, you know, lots of things to do left at the end of the day, and just not a sense of fulfillment, it may be some real clues that, you know, this isn't the right role for you. And as Zara described, taking a look at what you've done that you really have enjoyed can serve as a very credible guidance system in terms of finding roles that do engage your talents, and finding then career paths, career goals that fit those particular talents. And that's really one of the most critical parts of development, is aligning, you know, your talent with the role that you're in and that you're moving toward.
Well, I think the important thing, though, is this is you, all of us, like you said, if it's to be, it's up to me, though, starting with us in the driver's seat, identifying
right.
those fits, those talents, those passions, and then being able to translate it in a way that also can be kind of a beacon to help us go vet out what the possibilities might be within an organization. So taking the initiative to learn more about my company,
yes.
not just within my own department, perhaps, although that can be very fulfilling, but saying, you know, in the bigger perspective, how could I go help in other places?
And just, you know, we always tell people, don't wait to be discovered.
Oh, exactly.
And that's a really poor strategy. It's taking that initiative to learn about yourself and then to learn where those talents can really meet your organization's needs. And then, of course, to be able to communicate that to your supervisor, to your management, in a way that they can, you know, readily see how your talents could be used. You got to give them some ideas. You can't just, you know, expect to go in and sit down and ask, you know, have someone tell you what you should be when you grow up.
or that there's this magic menu
yeah.
in the past
mm-hmm.
that you go and check. Because as we said earlier in the show, is some of that stuff is kind of twittered away. Or put it this way, it's been replaced by whole new careers, whole new fields, whole new opportunities
right.
the organization really values.
And they're evolving so rapidly that there's no manual that has them all
right.
documented.
So the idea then, the employee still staying in the driver's seat, is from that best fit interest, then how do you formulate a strategy and with whom you should leverage? And we said not necessarily just your direct supervisor, but openly engaging him and her, so it's not viewed like you're shopping around behind their back, so to speak. So there are some sensitive dynamics with that, too.
Yes, and that's when we, you know, talk about the organizational responsibility, you know, providing a culture that makes that kind of conversation, you know, very viable and is actually encouraged. You know, that's really important. And, you know, we've run into situations where that's discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and the employee has to be sensitive, as you say, to that. But it's certainly the employee's responsibility to come up with a realistic strategy that they can then present to the supervisor or to their board of directors, as you call them, to get feedback and get kind of, you know, kick the tires with them
mm-hmm.
and formulate a plan that has a basis in reality, so that the supervisor, you know, will be able to help implement that plan. And we know from working with a lot of supervisors and managers that one of the things that they really fear most in these career discussions is employees coming in with unrealistic plans, right?
Right.
Unrealistic in the sense that they really don't match the individual's talents or the organization's needs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't done your homework, you're just kind of setting yourself up for rejection.
An earlier comment, too, though, also is to make sure when you request a meeting to talk about your career that you're really open and you prepare your supervisor in some way, whether it be sending him a brief agenda beforehand or even saying this is not to talk about X, but to
right.
talk about this.
Right. Here's some topics that I'm, you know, I'd like to talk about. You may have others. Mm-hmm. And then in the conversation itself, to be prepared to sort of take control of that conversation and present your ideas and ask for their perspective and suggest an action, you know, step. So, again, it's your career, and so, you know, just assuming 100% responsibility is a good strategy, and then any help you get is icing
extra.
On the cake.
You got it. That's well. So that's the perspective in play. And I would, for our listeners, you know, that you're hearing folks, this is a relatively new shift, as you said. Before, it was the supervisor calling the meeting. And what we're saying in this day and age, no, it should be us bringing that conversation to a head, particularly, you know, look at how flat organizations have become, and some supervisors have between 15 and 25 direct reports.
Very
how could they
point.
Possibly,
yeah.
unless they really did it day in and day out, just in a natural flow, and not all supervisors are skilled, talented, or you and I would say gifted in this
right.
space.
Right. No, that's a very important point. I mean, and your supervisor is just not walking around thinking about your career all day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just not usually the norm.
The kettle of fish she's trying to fry,
right,
in terms of the results and the other business pressures. Okay, but let's say that when we talked about the employee's responsibility, but now let's do talk about the supervisor or the manager. What do you feel their responsibilities are in this process?
Well, again, the Gallup surveys, the Blessing and White surveys, they all point to the really critical importance of the employee being able to do what he or she does best and enjoys doing, you know, every day. Mm-hmm. So the supervisor's responsibility then becomes, how do we match this the employee's capabilities with the organization's needs? And this is what we call job fit, and this is what we, you know, work on all the time to help both supervisors and employee understand, you know, the motivation of the employee and then link that to the appropriate jobs.
Right. And for those who haven't listened to many of our segments, when we say job fit, the idea of matching, it means, for example, if I'm one that really likes to be collaborative with people and work in team environments, then putting me in a job that's behind the scenes, just moving data, probably isn't going to work. Although I might be able to do the task, it won't pay to my passion. It won't let me be all of who I want to be when I come to work.
And there are just so many examples of it. I just worked with a woman yesterday whose motivation was to establish a process.
Mm-hmm.
She really liked to be able to look back and see that she had helped to design and implement a process that had enduring life to it. And she was in a role where she was just sort of tweaking short-term problems, mm-hmm, and sure that it would solve the problem at the moment, but it didn't have any long-term impact. And she had just become, very demotivated and wasn't really understanding what was going on. But after you looked at her achievements that she really valued, they were all much more permanent in the sense of establishing a system that was going to really last.
And the real joy here, of course, is if a supervisor or manager spots that, chances are they may have people over there trying to establish things that hate to do that.
Right.
And boy, we can grab her up, move her over here, and then get some real happy campers all across. Well, the other part, of course, with supervisors and managers, which I believe makes these career discussions challenging, is they may not know.
Right.
The fear is the employee's going to come in, ask for something, or ask for guidance on how do I get to a path to do X, Y, Z, and they're going to sit there and say, I don't have that, or it's not out of my past swim life. So it takes some courage always now as the supervisor, or think of us as parents, to say, you know, I don't know, but I'll go find out.
And to sort of have a repertoire of strategies in their pocket. You know, there's a lot of research on the kinds of experiences that, you know, general experience and general categories of experiences that employees need. For example, you know, maybe working on new and struggling projects, or having direct customer interface, or working with more diverse cultures within the organizations, or just applying leading-edge technology. And, I mean, sometimes we think, well, does that have to be in a research lab? But no, not at all. We worked with a janitorial service and found out that one of the really key things that some of the top employees were doing was research on new products,
mm-hmm,
and bringing into their employer ideas for more effective cleaning products and equipment.
And usually, you know, there's a lot of knowledge already resident in your organization if you keep your eyes open. For example, as the employee asking, well, how was it that this person or that person got that key assignment? And if you look at that person's track record then, or frankly, go have a conversation with them, that then you're informed. And the same way for supervisors and managers, to step back, I mean, my goodness, you participate in meetings all day long about the values of the company, the vision, the new business we're trying to attract, etc., and then translate that into new opportunities for others that you can present that, or at least open the conversation with your employees.
Right. It's like that question we always ask supervisors, you know, what do employees do in this organization that really are able to continue to retain their value over the length of time in the organization and increase their responsibilities? What kind of behaviors do they, you know, participate in or exhibit? And, you know, for the supervisor to look around and say, you know, what do you really do around here to get ahead? What's going on in this organization?
But, of course, you and I have also, though, with some of the work doing recently, collaboratively, of course, is many supervisors and managers, not many, we'll say there's a set of them, that are kind of frozen in this career development thing because they feel, well, gee, I never had the advantage of this.
Right.
I don't know how to do it. Or the other one is, well, I think people should sink and swim just like I did.
Or I don't want to encourage my good employees to leave me.
Because, exactly. Because then it's a nightmare for me to justify even keeping the head so I can find someone new.
And this is where, you know, the organization has to step in with policies and systems that really hold supervisors accountable for these kinds of responsibilities and provide some consequences, you know, both rewards for those who do take the responsibility seriously, as well as, you know, more negative consequences for those who don't perform them.
Yes, or continue to lose people because of these kind of conversations. And again, if we're not equipped as a director of marketing to talk to an employee who would like to move to sales, well, then how do I broker the relationship in an open and honest way to perhaps have my employee go speak with my colleague who's in sales?
And it is interesting, you know, when we in a session ask supervisors who really do support their employees in this way, ask them, you know, what do they feel is in it for them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some are just genuinely motivated by helping other people develop. I mean, that's part of their own nature, and so that's really a plus. But even those who are not that high, you know, that motivated, recognize that it puts them in a position as being seen as a supervisor who does help their people. You know, who does support their continued development, and they sort of get a reputation in the organization. So more talented employees are then attracted to their group
exactly.
as well.
Exactly. In fact, but it's like anything, you know, you almost have to trust. You're giving away your great folks, knowing that another batch of great is coming right in after that, and it's absolutely clear. In fact, I used to walk around because I was actually in an organization that valued moving people cross-functionally and even across major divisions of this firm. I always had, you know, there in my valise who the high potential people were in my organization, when might be a good time that I'd be ready to give them up. So if you suddenly were in a meeting hearing about a possibility, out came the list. Well, you know, Joe here, right here, he's got this, that, and the other thing. And so, indeed, some of that carrying around the magic black book, for those of us, we do it. But I always knew the more I did of that, the more that I would circle back and have people want to come in the organizations that I was leading. Bingo.
And again, it really speaks to the importance of the employee having a conversation with you and letting you know what it is that they really want to do. Because, again, if you've got that at the tip of your fingers, you're going to be much more prepared to see a slot that will fit.
Well, the other piece of it in this day and age in particular, with now more dual career families, with many developmental roles requiring relocation or lots of travel, I've watched how people automatically discount, well, Susie wouldn't be interested in that role because, you know, she just had her second child. Or Joe's wife is a successful doctor here in town, so the idea of moving them to New York wouldn't work. You know what, though? Not true. And we should not jump to those conclusions because there's many times, but in absence of the employees having revealed some of that where appropriate, again, it's the mystery.
Right. And sometimes employees feel like if they reveal these things, they will limit their options. What they don't know is how they limit their options by not having that information on the table.
That's exactly right. Marlis, the role, of course, we're talking about really puts us in the hands of the employee, the role of the supervisor in the organization. Let's remember, too, though, that not all employees perhaps are gifted in a way to present who they are. Maybe they know the data, but then how to go have that dialogue. So I know what you would say is you have to have a good plan. You write it down.
Right.
You try it out with your a peer to say, you know, do you think I'm making my point? So you kind of dress rehearse.
Right. And the same for the supervisor. When they have an individual that they think is maybe will be a more difficult discussion, or they don't have all the they don't have any strategies to put on the table, you know, sit down and chat with their peers.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe someone who's worked with that individual before or knows them well, just say, you know, what do you think? Here's a couple of ideas that I have. What do you, you know, do you have any something I've not thought about.
Exactly. Well, great. Well, Marlis Hansen from SEMA International, thanks so much. A very rich conversation on the responsibilities, the triumvirate, we'll call it, for career development, employees, supervisors, and the organization in general. It's SEMA International, SIMAinternational.com, to learn about what Marlis, and actually I am partnered with the organization as well to help others. Thanks a lot, and we'll catch up with you next month.
Okay, thank
you. Take care. You bet.
Bye-bye.
Or 2580.
You know she's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to you. You know you're going to spend the rest of your lives together. And you know you want her to have something as special as she is to show her how much you care. And you know she deserves nothing less than an Abbott Taylor custom-designed diamond engagement ring. Spectacular styles that will be hers alone, that will make her eyes sparkle every time she looks at it. You know only an original diamond engagement ring designed by Abbott Taylor Jewelers will do. Beautiful diamond designs, fabulous certified diamonds with 100%.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.